In 1993, a Canadian folk band, pop folk band, by the name of the Crash Test Dummies. Have anybody heard of the Crash Test Dummies? There you go. I wasn't sure, 100%. They came out with a song that was very intellectually entitled, And I wonder, what's the name of the title of the song? And the song itself is odd. The music video is very odd. But the third verse had a very interesting phrase in it. And the third verse is that once there was this boy whose parents made him come directly home right after school. And when they went to their church, they shook and I think flopped is the word they used, all over the church floor. And this is the line in the song that as I was reading through this psalm and as I was pondering our message today, they caught me and said, he couldn't quite explain it. They'd always just gone there. And then jumps into the chorus of, he couldn't quite explain it. They'd always just gone there. And it makes me wonder as we come to church and we worship, what would happen? What do you think? What would happen if, as you left church today, someone stopped you on the way home, or maybe at the Rider game, or at the grocery store, or wherever it is, and they knew that you had been to church, and they stopped you and they asked you why? Why do you go to church? Why did you come to church today? How would you respond to that? Perhaps in the explanation of their question, because I would probably want to respond with, why do you ask? Mostly to give myself time to think of an answer, but kind of, why do you ask? Maybe they would explain in their question that they understand the church is a place where God is worshipped, and that part of worship is praising God, and what they really want to know is not why do you come to church, but why is it that you praise God? What is it about Him that you praise, that you worship, that you do what we do here on a Sunday morning with our songs and our scripture reading and the time of prayer, which is all about praising God? How would you respond to that? How would you answer that question? And you don't have to give me the answer now, and I'm not even going to ask for hands, but some of us might want to kind of shuffle the question off a little bit and mumble something incoherent, look at our watch, and rush off to something else. Maybe there's an uncomfortability there, or maybe we have a deep theological explanation, and we can sit down and quote Barth and all the great theologians and explain it to them, and they would look at their watch and run away, or who knows how you would respond, but that's part of my question, and what I want us to think about this morning in our message as we look at Psalm 145. Now, I've titled my message this morning, Why We Praise God, and it's both a question and an answer, the same thing. The question, why do we praise God, is answered in this psalm. And sometimes we think, wow, why do we do that? And maybe we're like the boy in that song. We can't quite explain it. We've always just gone there. We've always just done it. But this psalm of David explains it. This psalm of David answers that question for us. Now, we've come now to the final message in our Summer of Psalms series, and I trust that you have gained, and I've heard from some of you that you have, that a freedom, or have been renewed in your freedom to be honest with God and to be real with Him. The Psalms give us that permission. The Psalms, if you start at the beginning and you read through to the end, all 150 of them, or even if you do like we have done this summer and kind of bounce in and out a little bit in a random order, you will find that all of human being, all of human emotion, all of humanness is contained in these Psalms. There's joy, there's sorrow, there's anger, there's question, there's lostness. There's being found, there's fear, there's safety, And threaded through all of that is God engaging with us and giving us permission to engage with Him where we're at, when we're at, what we're going through at any particular moment in time. And I hope that as we've gone through these Psalms this summer, just the small glimpse that we have done, that you have been encouraged and that you have been challenged and that you will go to the Psalms and you would look for yourself in them and you would find yourself, and in finding yourself there, you will find God with you in it. And that you will find that the Psalms become your go-to book. The place where you go when you don't know what to read next, or you need something from God, or you just need some encouragement, some reading, your first place to go is the Psalms. And you will find yourself like David and the other psalmists who just cry out to God because there is nowhere else to go. And there should be nowhere else to go except to Him. And that's what we've been doing this summer. And so I hope that you will continue on once we are done. Now, Psalm 145, to give us some context of that, is primarily a psalm of praise. I hope you caught that as I was reading it there. It's primarily a psalm of praise. It's an interesting psalm in the way it's been written out. It's an acrostic. It's a Hebrew acrostic, which honestly means very little to me because I don't know Hebrew. But what it means is that every line of the psalm starts with the first letter of the line of the psalm is a letter of the alphabet. So it would be in English, each line would be, the first line would be, starts with an A, the second line starts with a B, and so on and so forth through the alphabet. This is what's happening through the Hebrew alphabet in this psalm, which, if no other reason of interest, is fairly remarkable that David could put together a coherent work of significant, meaningful poetry with that restriction. If we were trying to do that in English, we'd struggle when we get to Q. X would be really hard. But David has done this beautifully and done it in such a fashion that it flows from thought and it flows in and out of first person to third person, praising God and explaining who He is and revealing God to his reader in this psalm. It's a wonderful, wonderful bit of genius that is beyond me, but it's neat to know. Now, it's also thought that Psalm 145 is kind of viewed as the end of the Psalms. Now, let me explain that. The Psalms are broken into five different books, the groupings of the books, and Psalm 145 comes at the end of book five. At least that's what the commentators are saying. And Psalms 146 to the end, 150, are really this expanded doxology of the entire Psalter, the entire book of Psalms. And if you read through those Psalms, they follow the same theme that Psalm 145 has brought and introduced you into it, this idea of praising God, just praising God. It's a wonderful doxology there. But Psalm 145 kind of marks the end of book 5. It also marks the end of the final grouping of Davidic Psalms, that is the Psalms that David wrote. And if you look forward a little bit, if you go back to 140, 141, 142, 143, you will find the flavor of those Psalms to be laments. These are Psalms where David, in the midst of praise, is crying out to God and wondering, where are you? What I'm struggling, I'm suffering, I'm in a cave, life is not going well for me. God, where are you a part of this? And Psalm 145 is the conclusion of that. It's the answer of that. It's David coming to the realization that even though I'm in a dark place and I don't know what's going on and I'm stuck there, this is my final response, to praise God. And not just to throw out a praise God, hallelujah, amen, but to be specific about why I'm praising God. And so we find Psalm 145 kind of finishing that, answering those questions that David has been asking and bridging a gap for the entire Psalter to be a point of praise. Likely, This grouping of Psalms, book 5 within the Psalms, would have been compiled and put together in the time that the Israelites were in exile. And so this speaks right to where they're at. They're in a space of displacement physically. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They're not living in their own land anymore. They're disconnected from their heritage. They're disconnected from their people. And they're feeling disconnected all around. And this grouping of Psalms, book 5 there, kind of speaks into that space and zone. And so as they're wondering where is God in their actual life, the psalmist is coming out and saying, He's here. We need to praise Him as a result of that, in spite of where we're at. And so the Israelites, the early worshipers, the early church, the commentators don't go on to exactly how long or how long this tradition went for, but the tradition for this particular psalm is that it would be read or recited by God's people at least 3 times a day. Twice in the morning and once in the evening. At least 3 times a day, they're pulling out Psalm 145 and they're reading it through. And if you've done this 3 times a day for a number of years, you're not reading it anymore. You are reciting it. It is a part of your DNA. Every day, 3 times a day, this is the psalm they're going to. And asking the question, why do we praise God? And answering the question, this is why I'm praising God. And the joy that they feel and the encouragement that they feel and just the resetting that they need in their lives answered in this psalm. Now, if we look at the psalm, the very first few verses, it immediately starts out with this idea of praise. It gives you the statement, I exalt you, my God and King, I praise and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. In those 2 verses, the theme of praise has been mentioned 4 times. We get the idea of where the psalmist is going because he tells us, we're going to talk about praising God here right off the bat. And then verse 3 talks about, great is the Lord, He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure His greatness. And then he goes on into explaining why praise happens. Sets the tone. Now that the psalmist has established his purpose, he then spends the rest of it explaining why it is that he's going to praise God so much. Now to get to the answer to that question, why do we praise God? The psalmist doesn't go into details of how God has specifically acted in his life. That happens in other psalms. The psalmist doesn't break into great detail of, at this one time, God did this for me, and so I'm going to tell you about that. That happens in some of the other psalms. No, in order to explain why we praise God, why the psalmist is so keen on praising God, he explains God's character. He isn't praising God for His acts. He's praising God for who God is. We get that mixed up sometimes. We will praise God because He has done something, but we forget to praise God because He is something. I want to just take a listen at some of the various words that the psalmist uses to describe God. Majestic, glorious splendor. Greatness, goodness, righteousness, merciful, compassionate, slow to anger. I love that one. It's my favorite one. Filled with unfailing love. Mighty, always keeps His promises. Gracious, helps the fallen. Provider, filled with kindness. Close. What a wonderful part of God's character, of who He is. The idea that God is close to us. Hears and rescues. That is, He listens and acts on what He hears. Protector. Holy. That's a long list. And it is not repeated. There is no repetition of a character trait in there. And we can probably, if you read a bit closer and spend even a little bit more time, and you can probably pull out some more words that for you define and show and reveal God's character in this. And so the question for David, the answer to the question for David of why he praises God, is because God is all of these things. And I need to praise him for that. And in the midst of his uncertain situations, in the midst of his feeling alone, in the midst of all of these things, he is able to find reasons to praise God because of God. Not because of what God is doing, but because of who God is. I can't emphasize that enough for us this morning. David recounts who he knows God to be. This is not an exhaustive list of God's characteristics. This by no means hits all the points. There's so much more to who God is. But David, in studying God, David in encountering God, David in seeking to know God more, this is what he knows of God's character at this point, and he will know more and he will gain more. And they don't change. They're not brushed aside as one-time things. They are who God is. And David says, I'm going to praise God for who he is. Are you seeing the answer to our question a little bit in that? Are you seeing some of the response that maybe that person who's stopped you in the street is really getting at? Now, there's a couple of instructions for us in this psalm. It's not just all praise, but there's a couple of instructions that help us in understanding who God is and his character, that help us to know him better, help us to get in line and in tune with him. Now, the first instruction is found in verse 5, and that instruction is to meditate on him. The verse says, I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor, and your wonderful miracles. In other words, this David is saying, I will meditate on who you are, God. I will seek to know who you are. I will desire to be in your presence. And that's spending intentional time looking for the qualities, looking for the characteristics of God, reminding himself of what he knows, and learning new ones, seeing new ones. And that takes time. We need to spend time in that. Spend time to understand why, what God's up to, and not just the what is he up to, but also the why. What drives God to care for us as he does? Why does God do the things he does? Those are character questions. And the more we spend time seeking and understanding his character, the closer we come to him, and the better we are able to answer our question of why we praise him. On the flip side of that, if we don't spend that time. Now, some of us may say, I come to church every Sunday. It's great. I got, Ryan's been talking for, 25, 30, 40 minutes on a Sunday. I don't go that long. On a Sunday morning, that's good enough. Man, I've heard enough about God. That's once a week. We're good. No. It's a regular, daily spending time with him. When we don't do that, not only do we fail to get to understand and know who he is, but we will forget who he is. Is it is far easier to keep stationary in our spiritual life and our understanding of who God is than to keep going. But we need to keep going. It becomes a discipline, an intentionality of spending time with God so we don't forget him. And we don't forget about the character qualities that he has revealed into our lives. The second instruction falls kind of on the heels of this and is part of this as well. And it's found in verse 4, one verse up. And that is to instruct the next generation. I said, look at this. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. See, our job isn't just say, oh, God is so nice for me to keep it. Our job, our goal, when we understand who God is to tell the next generation about who he is so that when generations go by, we as a people, as creation, do not forget who he is. But if we don't tell them, if we don't speak into the lives of the next generation, if we don't invest into them now, How will they know? And in 2-3 generations, God will be completely forgotten. Something that is seen in a museum, maybe, but certainly not known. And so we need to do, as David puts it, tell and share the story of God's wonderful goodness. And it should be a natural progression that as we come to a better understanding, a better and deeper understanding of how awesome God is in our worlds and how we know Him, that we should share that with the next generation. Tell our kids, tell our grandkids. But if we don't know God, we cannot make Him known to others. And so we need the first instruction to meditate, to spend time with Him. So, why do you praise God? What would your answer be? How would you respond to that person? Now this morning we're going to do things a little bit differently to end our message. And this is why I wanted to make sure everybody had a bulletin. Inside your bulletin you'll find, where's my bulletin? Here we go. You'll find 2 pages. The first page you've already found because you're writing your prayer notes on it. On the back side of that page is the sermon notes. And it looks like this. It's a page of blank there. And I want you to pull that out. I know many of you already have them out. You filled it up with notes. That's okay. Use the other part of your bulletin if you need. But you will also find in your bulletin Psalm 145. Some of you already found that already. Pull that out. Psalm 145 right here. Now, what we're going to do, what you're going to do, is I want you, we're just going to take some time for that. We're going to play a little bit of music, just quietly over the system, just to give us some space and time. I want you to read Psalm 145. You've heard it. You read along with me, perhaps, but I want you to read it now. And as you read Psalm 145, I want you to take a look and look and say, what part of this psalm, what part of these words that David has written resonates with where you are at with God right now? What part of this says, this is why I praise God? This line right here, this verse right here, this phrase, whatever it happens to be right here, is why I praise God. Now, most times people just highlight that or put a little mark there or remember it for later. No. What you're going to do is when you find that line, that phrase, whatever it happens to be, it's just for you. Write it down on your sermon notes page. I actually want you to do this. Take the pens that are in front of you there and write that verse out. Every word. So that it begins to cement into who you are. So that when the question is asked, why do you praise God? You will be able to say, you know what, I can't quite all explain it, but I can say this. God is, and you fill in the blank that is for you, from Psalm 145. So we're going to take a few moments to do that. We've got some time. Thank you. as you find a line there that resonated with you, touched you, maybe revealed something new to you about God, who He is, and why you praise Him? I sure hope so. I sure hope so. Take this home. Put it in your Bible. Keep it where you will be reminded of it daily. Stick it on your fridge, wherever the case may be. But use it as a starting point for your understanding of why you praise God. Look for how God reveals Himself to you in that particular way this week. How He reveals that part of His character to you this week. And when He does, and you see it, stop and praise Him for it. And then as you're doing that, just ask Him, seek Him, ask Him to expand your reasons to praise Him every day. Let's pray together.